Well, good morning, everyone. Wow. I don't know. Do I even need to preach? That was good. That was real good. Carol, could I ask you to share that real fast again, what the Lord gave you? I want you to really listen to this. This is God speaking to us. You can do it right there. You don't have to.
My people do not see and understand my ways. They need to be led by the hand to know my heart's desire. They are very precious children, and I long for them to desire and to know my heart and to love me wholeheartedly, to truly be one with me. People, do not turn aside from the hand that I send to help you.
Amen. You know, the thing I noticed in there are several things, but I've heard things like this in other churches shared before. You know, the Lord says, I see you, but he says, you don't see. And that's the problem. And in a lot of churches, he'll continue to say is because you won't listen or because you don't desire or you have no hunger for me or my word. And I hear that a lot, but you didn't hear that in this. He said, you don't see the hand, God's hand dealing with us and showing us things. And he called us precious. He said, you are my precious people. See, folks, we're willing, we want to go further, but we're kind of like, we don't know exactly how. And so I think the Lord is saying, relax, I see where you're at, and I know you don't see what I'm really trying to show you maybe as yet, but you will. You will understand it because his hand is on us. And it's just so neat. You know, when you talk about the fires in California, I heard one person say, well, maybe God doesn't care. But see, that's not true. That's not true at all. But I think God's hand of mercy was on California. You may say, wow, he burnt my house down. But I think God set his mercy and allowed his mercy to cover a lot of California to bring such devastation. Look at the leadership they have. Look what happened to Canada when Trudeau backed out. Liberal. God is dealing with liberalism. He's dealing with it. It's no more. People will talk down to him now, whereas before they were the ones that talked down to us. See, God's doing a new thing here, and we don't realize it. We don't see it just yet, but the hand of God is moving, and he's going to lead us, and he's going to take us to places we never thought we'd ever go or ever be able to do. But see, we got to follow God. Even though we don't see it, we got to follow God. And then the song service. Open the eyes of my heart. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord, that I might see. See, and that's what's wrong with a lot of churches and people and all of this is they don't see. They can't receive from God. And a lot of us, because they don't want any more. I've had people tell me, I said, Jim, that's all good and well, but I don't want any more. I'm happy where I'm at. And I'm like, wow, seriously? That you just want a little bit of God and you don't want any more? You know, and that's really sad of what that's all about. And then the last song we sang, He Holds Me Fast. He holds me fast. I like the one stanza or verse there that says, He holds us fast, and when one day our faith will turn to sight. See, one day we stand on faith, we walk with the Lord, we grow in our faith, as we're talking about this morning. And last week we even talked about, it's important for us to know, someday our faith is going to turn to sight. You're going to see what you were believing for. You're going to see why you trusted God, even though you didn't see at the time. It was kind of almost blind faith. And I believe it's going to be turned to sight. Praise the Lord. What a good time. And I think a lot of people are starting to see now with the craziness in the world that's been taken on for how many years now? Seems like forever. And now all of a sudden people are starting to see. Isn't it so nice when you begin to see? Folks, we need to see. Right now we have to see by faith. That's called hope. What you haven't seen yet is hope. But if you've seen it, then it's no longer hope. So God is wanting us to see some things, to understand. He is in control. He will protect us. He is holding us fast. God is so good. Turn with me, would, to 2 Peter chapter 1. I want to start again and just read this. I'm going to try to breeze through to at least the first half of it and get into the meat of it, I believe, that the Lord is wanting us to see this morning. So we're talking about growth in our faith and fruitfulness because of it. Verse 5. But also for this very reason, giving all diligence. In other words, it's very important. He says, add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, to knowledge self-control, to self-control perseverance, to perseverance godliness, to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness love. Verse 8, for if these things are yours and abound, you will be neither barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For he who lacks these things is short-sighted, even to blindness. They can't see. And has forgotten that he was cleansed from his old sins, his old ways. Therefore, brethren, be even more diligent to make your call and election sure. For if you do these things, you will never stumble. For so an entrance will be supplied to you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Father, we just thank you for your word today. Lord, thank you what you've given us just this morning already, Lord. The manna from heaven. Lord, make us hungry to see and obedient to your word. Lord, that we will build upon our faith these virtues that you've shared with us, that we might not stumble, that we might not fall, that we might not be blinded of what you're wanting to do and are starting to do even now. So, Father, do it in our lives. Hold us fast and use us in a mighty way. Help us to learn to trust you and to walk by faith. And even our faith will gain sight later on. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Amen. And amen. So Peter here is sharing some things that's really important with us, are to us, and we should understand that. Talks about virtue. Virtue is excellence or moral goodness. It reflects the character and integrity that align with God's nature. Folks, if we're going to walk with God, we got to look like God. Amen. So it's important that we gain virtue, godly holiness. Lord says, be holy for I am holy. And we can do that. It's important to do that. Now, when you have that virtue, what do? Peter's not saying quit there. He says, well, you know, you get this virtue. That's great. And you're working on that and you're showing the nature of God in your life. He says, but add to that knowledge. Folks, we've got to get in God's word. We've got to study. We've got to hear God's word. We need to understand God's word. There's so many false teachers out there and false teachings. And we've covered some in here. But there's so many of them out there. And what it's doing, it's taking people to hell. And then he continues on. You got to add excellence, moral goodness, knowledge, self-control, mastery over our feelings, our desires and actions, for a disciplined spiritual walk. You know, there's a lot of times we may hear something in churches. Well, I don't believe that. In fact, I don't even like that. And people get angry about it. And it's like, well, maybe study it out a little bit and ask God about it instead of right away rejecting it, because that's not what I heard before. Now, I'm not going there. And we reject that. Then we're angry and we become more blind. We don't see. We can't see the truth sometimes. And see, that's things that we've got to get that self-control in. There's a lot of things I hear and see and have been around that I do not like. But I maintain self-control because who knows, maybe one day God will use me to be able to speak into their lives or to correct that situation. Amen? But if I just throw up my hands, I'm mad and I curse at them or tell them they're all going to hell and they're all of the devil and all this kind of stuff. It did no good. Really, all it did was temper their own emotions about it and branded you as an idiot. And so why would they even attempt to listen to you? See, we got to have self-control. We got to know what God says, realize what God says, understand it. We take our stand in it, but do it the way God would do it. Do it the way Jesus would do it. Because we have his virtue. We have our knowledge. So let's maintain self-control. We can't let our anger and our emotions guide us in everything. You just can't do it. There's so many times I have to bite my lips or my tongue. And I'll just speak to myself, Jim, shut up. No, just keep it shut. And I'm finding more and more times like that. But see, I say, Lord, thank you for self-control. Because usually, see, I don't run from controversies. Some people do. But I face them head on. I know in group here last week, this one lady was talking about something, and I said, well, wait a minute. And I'm using scripture, and then Charlene says, well, it's not a big deal. I said, no, it is a big deal. It's the word. And I want to share the truth because there may be others that need to hear it. And so I progressed on, but I did it hopefully in a loving way because I didn't want to hurt this person's feeling. But it's kind of like, okay, we heard your side, now hear my side. Right? And sometimes we need to say our side instead of just letting everybody else run over us and have their ideas, especially when there's other people around that hear that and you don't say anything, then they believe that. Oh, well, it must be okay. It must be okay. But see, use self-control and love. And Charlene was probably right. I probably should shut up when she told me. And a big one, too, I think, is perseverance. Folks, after we've done the will of God, don't you think we ought to stand strong in what God says in His Word and what we've done rather than throw it away? Well, that didn't work. I'll never do that again. And it's like, it doesn't mean it was wrong. It just means that they weren't ready to receive it yet. And it's okay. Stand strong in it. Love them anyway. Say, I love you, brother. Maybe I need to study that some more. How about we do it together? Let's get some scriptures here. Let's just see really what this is saying. Because it's probably important. And they'll go, well, yeah, we could do that. I tell people, I said, you hear something you don't like, prove me wrong. It's okay. If I'm wrong, I want to know what the truth is. You prove me wrong. Give me some scripture. And I'm like, oh, okay. One time in an elders meeting, I was really upset with our government. Well, I don't know why that'd be, but anyway, I was kind of upset with that, and one of the elders gave Romans 13, where it says that God appoints leadership and thing and people that rule over you. And what happens, you tend to fight against God if you go against them, even if you don't agree with them. Well, that was a hard one to swallow. I said, well, I have to study that one out. Well, as I did, he was right. See, but I was going more by my feelings, seeing all the bad that was being done and the harm that it was causing. But see, that's why we got to look at things through God's eyes. His virtue. His knowledge. You see, don't ever forget, God's in control. Do you think people all of a sudden got real smart and voted for Trump? And I'm not saying he's the savior of the world, but God is appointing him right now to bring sanity into the world. Woke. Woke? Man, you guys are asleep. You ain't awoke. The words they use, woke, really, all right. But anyway, perseverance, folks, after you've done the will of God, stand. The word says that after you've done all that you can do to stand, it says stand therefore. And I just turn it over to God. Lord, you're in control. I'm not. Someday they'll be able to see. And I thank you for the knowledge that you've given me. But I realize through that I do need a whole lot more knowledge. Amen. Boy, the more I find out that I know, the more I realize I don't know. Try that out sometime. It's like, God, I'm dumber than a box of rocks. I've been a Christian for over 50 years and I didn't know that. And I had my grandson who's been a Christian for a year at the time they told me. That's humbling. Don't be afraid to be humbled. But anyway, that's one of them. So if you continue down our text, it talks about godliness, reverence, devotion to God, reflecting his attributes in daily living, brotherly kindness. We got to be kind to one another, love one another. And then it talks about love. See, these are things we add to the virtues of God. We start with the virtuousness of God, and then we build upon all of this and add it to our faith. And when we do that, then we won't be blind anymore, but we'll be able to see and realize what God is actually doing for the most part. And then in verse 8, it talks about abundant fruitfulness. When these qualities abound in a believer's life, they lead to fruitfulness and deeper knowledge of Jesus Christ. They prevent spiritual stagnation, ineffectiveness. Then in verse 9, it's a warning against spiritual short-sightedness. So Paul warns that neglecting these virtues results in a spiritual blindness, forgetting one's cleansing from past sins can lead to an assurance and our lack of insurance and spiritual dullness. So Peter encourages us through his writings here. He said, add to your faith virtues such as goodness, knowledge, self-control, perseverance, godliness, brotherly kindness, and love. But spiritual nearsightedness and blindness occurs when one fails to develop these qualities, leading to stunned spiritual life. Folks, a lot of people feel that if they know the Word of God and study it, that's good. But if we don't know it and don't learn it, it's okay too. And I want to say that's a lie from hell. People think that ignorance is golden. And it's not. It causes a lot of heartache, a lot of problems. It even at times has our house burnt down. It brings sickness. It brings diseases. Folks, there's people that they call their church the internet. They go online and just look at these different churches and their services. But they don't want to attend one. They just want to do those. And it's like, well, when you get real sick, you need a doctor or the emergency room, do you go online? Do you have an online hospital? No, you go. You go to the doctor. Folks, where else? In the church, you should receive love, understanding, compassion. People that love on you, that want to help you, that want to guide you, that want to be there for you. Like Lloyd, that definitely wants to pray for you. The fellowship. The understanding that we can gather from one another. When we're hurting, you know, I don't know if any of these online churches send money when you're hurting, when you have to have a bill paid. Maybe they do. I don't know. I've never been on an online church. I know we watch Harbor Lights sometimes on the internet. You know, I'm not saying there's anything wrong with that, but I'm saying if that is how you do church, see, that's what happened with COVID, wasn't it? Everybody stayed home and we all watched services on TV. Well, I got used to that pretty fast. Man, I didn't even have to get dressed. We'd make coffee. We'd sit down. I'd have my little my little round chocolate donuts, you know them little ones, got the hole in it, and they're tiny, so there's no calories. Right? Punched a hole, it's all gone. Plus, they're little, see? So I'm watching my weight. But anyway, we got used to that. I said, man, oh, great, man. We can talk, we can do things. We sit in the couch, we drink our coffee, go get another cup. It was nice.
It wasn't nice.
What's that?
It wasn't nice. I was isolated.
Well, at first it was nice. But then I realized all that the enemy is stealing from us. We need each other. Why do you think the Lord made churches? Created them the way they are because we need each other. Folks, it's so important, but what happens is because of a lot of this stuff, we get spiritually blinded. We don't really see the importance of things anymore. Study the word, not really important. Haven't done it for years, hadn't hurt me yet. Of course, I don't go to church. The kids are all sick. I'm sick. Hard time paying my bills. Might even lose my job, or my husband did, or my wife did. Folks, I'm telling you, the enemy opens us up so he can attack us and destroy us. See, the thief has come to steal, kill, and destroy. But Jesus said, hey, let's get your spiritual eyes open. He says, I'm the one that came to give you life. And life more abundantly. Folks, I want the abundant. Amen? I want the abundant life. I don't want to just survive. Maybe other ministers, good for them. They go to Florida for the winter. I'm happy for them. But I've got other things that God has called me to do. So we just go for a couple weeks. Of course, that's not really spiritual. I just get tired of being away from home. 2 weeks is enough for me. I can't imagine going down there for 6 months. So I'm not doing it because I'm spiritual. But anyway, let's look at some examples of how this happens and what happens to us when we become blinded. Let's go through them real fast. Forgetting the past, cleansing. As the verse mentions, spiritually blindedness includes forgetting the cleansing from past sins. This might be manifest as living without gratitude for God. Gratitude for God's grace. And failing to understand the depth of his forgiveness in receiving Jesus. I want to go to church too because I want to honor the Father. And I go, Lord, is there somebody I need to talk to or something you want to do through me? Show me that one, Lord, and help me to find him and go to him. That I might be a blessing. So I want to be a blessing to people. Because God was such a blessing to me. And he changed my life so drastically. And so I want to give that blessing as well to others. How about the example of true vision and true blindness? It's, John chapter 9, verse 35. And we'll just start with verse 35. This is talking about blindness and vision. This is where Jesus put he spit on the ground, made clay, and put it on this guy's eyes, and then told him to go wash. And so when he did, he came back seeing. But he went through a lot of problems because people didn't have spiritual insight, spiritual eyes. They couldn't see. And so he ended up even getting kicked out of the temple because he was healed. And he says, you know, and they're asking him, how did this happen? Who was it? He said, man, I don't know anything. All I know is that I was once blind, but now I see. And folks, that's where I am learning the word and walking with Jesus. I mean, I'm telling you, once I was blind, but now I see. So in verse 35, it says this, Jesus always talking to the Pharisees, and that Jesus heard that they had cast him out, that is the Pharisees and high priests and all of that. And so Jesus really, if you look at that, he went looking for him. Folks, you hurting? You've been done wrong? Maybe in the church hurt by someone who didn't, that was blind, that wasn't there, didn't have the attributes of the Lord, never built on their faith, and they hurt you. It says here that Jesus heard that he was kicked out, and he says, and when he had found him, he looked for him. Can you see that? And when he found him, Jesus went to find him. And he said to him, he says, do you believe in the Son of God? See, Jesus is wanting to give him some spiritual insight so he can see spiritually. And he answered and said, who is he, Lord, that I may believe in him? And Jesus said to him, you have both seen him, and it is he who is talking to you. And this man said, Lord, I believe, and worshiped him. And Jesus said in verse 39, for judgment I have come into this world, that those who do not see may see, and those who see may be made blind. Because it continues on and it says the Pharisees were with him, heard these words and said to him, are we blind also? You ever talk to somebody and you tell them the word and I don't believe that. I don't believe that. No, I don't see it that way. And then they think, you're telling me I'm blind? And they are, but they can't see it. And that's where most people are. They're blind and they don't realize they're blind. I just don't see it your way. Well, try seeing it God's way. Read the Bible and get it his way, what he says. So Jesus said to them, he says, if you were blind, you would have no sin. But now you say, we see, therefore, he says, your sin remains. I don't believe that scripture verse. That shouldn't be in there. Okay. You just don't see its relevance. And now you've branded yourself as one of those that knows everything. You even know more than God. Because you're already saying what God should or should not have put in his Bible. Amen? I can't imagine people doing that. They can openly say, God, you messed up. That verse shouldn't be in there. I don't believe in that gift. And it's like, really? You know, someday you're going to stand before God and you're going to have to give an account. But see, we've got to really learn. Even Peter, when he was failing, in fact, in fear, he denied Jesus 3 times. And folks, that's what happens to us if we don't really get in the Word and really learn to trust God and realize that we're in his hand and he'll hold us up. But it gets scary sometimes. And sometimes we fail. But I'm glad the Lord doesn't throw us away. So Peter denied Jesus three times. How about Lot's wife? Where the angel said, don't even look back. We're getting out of here. Sodom and Gomorrah will be destroyed. And so they're off and they're going. They're all hearing the screams and all the things that are going on. You can just imagine. Sulfur coming down as hail. And their homes are catching on fire and people are being hit by it and laying on the ground screaming because now they're burning because of the sulfur. And so Lot's wife heard that. But you know, I think when she turned around, it wasn't just curiosity. It was the sight of, I'm leaving my home. I'm leaving everything I pretty well knew. Everything is left. We're taking nothing with us. And she turned back. And it says that God struck her. And she became a pillar of salt. Folks, sometimes people look back and they fall. And the Bible says that after they've been saved, and if they do fall back, I'm not just saying you make a mistake. Like Peter, you know, he denied Jesus. He wasn't condemned. I'm talking about turning back is when you say, God, I'm done with you. I don't want any more. I've had enough. Now I'm going to do my own thing. And you turn and you don't want God. So it's not a casual mistake. And you only get saved once. So that means that when you mess up a little bit, it just means repent. Come back to the Lord. How about the prodigal son? He left for quite a while. And it says that the father kept looking for him. And then one day he seen him coming back. Because finally his eyes were open. What am I doing here in this pig pen eating slop? When at my father's house, the servants have all they can eat. And he says, I'll go back. And I'll confess my faults to him. And I'll ask if he'll forgive me. And I don't want to be his son. I don't have to be his son anymore. But Lord, Father, just make me one of your servants. That would be good enough. See, he humbled himself. And he turned back. And his father ran to meet him. And the father even said, my son was, once he was in a bad way, but now he's back. And what did they do? They celebrated. So God doesn't throw us away because we've messed up. If we still feel the love of God and the drawing by his Holy Spirit to come back, you're far from being lost. You just need to be obedient now. Y'all understand what God is really wanting to do? He's wanting us to get his word down so that we can see spiritually. He says our problem now is that we can't see. But he says, I've got a hand. And I'm teaching you and showing you. I'm guiding you. I'm protecting you. But he says, you got to be willing. You got to be willing to change. And allow him to lead and sacrifice anything that you have to sacrifice to do it. And it's all worth it. You want to hang on to it? You can be like Lot's wife. And you end up losing it all anyway, right? Folks, there's so much I want to share, but we don't have the time to do it. And I'm just excited about God and what he's doing. I don't know if you were lifted up at all by the message Carol got from the Lord, but I was. Because I even said this morning, I said, God says, just love them. God said, just love my people. So I'm not here to judge anybody or to condemn. I'm here to love. God, I'm going to do, Lord, what you sent me to do to the best of my ability. And I'm going to do it with love. God, you're in charge. These are your people. And you're going to take good care of them. But he says, and he said this to me several, he says, Jim, just love my people. He said, love my people. Father, I thank you for your word. Lord, you're so good. You care so much for us, and there's so much that you want to do. Father, I pray that you make us ready to receive, ready to do, that we might even receive your blessings. And Lord, we receive them so that we can bless others with it. So thank you, Father. Thank you for your words today and for the words you gave Carol for us. Thank you so much. And we praise you in it in Jesus' name. Amen. Now let me read the blessing over us, if you would. So may the Lord bless you and protect you. May the Lord smile on you and be gracious, gracious to you. May the Lord show you his favor and give you his peace and open our spiritual eyes that we might see. Thank you, Father. Amen. Amen.